You are listening to The Repository. If you're awake at this time of night and listening to the radio, you are likely either an insomniac, or a member of the undead, a vampire preparing to prey on the next unsuspecting victim. Either way, we value your demographic and your listenership. Thank you.
Of the new world to delight those who would have melody or be amused. I can sing you tender songs of love. I can give you merry tales and joyous laughter. I can transport you to the realms of music. I can cause you to join in the rhythmic dance. I can lull the babe to sweet repose or waken in the aged heart soft memories of youthful days. No matter what may be your mood, I am always ready to entertain you. When your day's work is done, I can bring the theater or the opera to your home. I can give you grand opera, comic opera, or vaudeville. I can give you sacred or popular music, band, orchestra, or instrumental music. I can render solos, duets, trios, quartets. I can aid in entertaining your guests. When your wife is worried after the cares of the day and the children are boisterous, I can rest the one and quiet the other. I never get tired, and you will never tire of me, for I always have something new to offer. I give pleasure to all, young and old. I will go wherever you want me, in the parlor, in the sick room, on the porch, in the camp, or to your summer home. If you sing or talk to me, I will retain your songs or words and repeat them to you at your pleasure. I can enable you to always hear the voices of your loved ones, even though they are far away. I talk in every language. I can help you to learn other languages. I am made with the highest degree of mechanical skill. My voice is the clearest, smoothest, and most natural of any talking machine. The name of my famous master is on my body and tells you that I am a genuine Edison phonograph. The more you become acquainted with me, the better you will like me. Ask the dealer.
That I assure you that I am the book of fate. Questions are my enemies, for my questions explode. Answers leap up like a frightened flock, blackening the sky of my inescapable memories. Not one answer, not one suffices. What prisms flash when I enter the terrible field of my past? I am a chip of shattered flint enclosed in a box. The box gyrates and quakes. I am tossed about in a storm of mysteries. And when the box opens, I return to this presence like a stranger in a primitive land. Slowly, slowly, I say, I relearn my name. But that is not to know myself. This person of my name, this Leto, who is the second of that calling, finds other voices in his mind, other names and other places. Oh, I promise you, as I have been promised, that I answer to but a single name. If you say, Leto, I respond. Sufferance makes this true. Sufferance and one thing more. I hold the threads.
You are listening to The Repository. Given the current state of the world, there is only so much anyone can do to improve the situation. That said, you could improve my situation by slipping a couple Benjamins into an envelope and mailing it to Jack Bailey, care of Access Humboldt, 1915 J Street, Eureka, California, 95501. I don't know if it will help the world situation, but it will most certainly help mine.
Thank you. Stop.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You are listening to The Repository. After many years of soul searching, I have decided to come clean about my dirty little secret. I sometimes drink milk right out of the carton and put it back into the refrigerator when no one is looking. I am so ashamed.
System.
Our lifetime friends, as all of you know, they've never failed us through the years.
Through driving rain, sleet or snow.
But now they've got a problem.
And what are they to do? The answer, my friend, is very simple. It's up to you to see them through.
Freedom and how to defend it. Mailing a letter wasn't much trouble.
There weren't too many places to send it.
But now it's a different story.
They've got more mail than ever before.
It's stuffed in bags, stacked on shelves.
There's hardly room for anything more.
There's been a mail explosion.
They've got a terrible load. You've got to help.
It wasn't so long ago that communication was a simple act. But the range of the human voice is limited. So, man's ingenuity found ways to bridge distance. He invented writing. And typographical errors. To carry messages across vast distances, man developed roads, highways, turnpikes, bunions, calluses, and a rare assortment of aching limbs.
Now that's easy to say, and it sounds just fine, but let's put this question right on the line. What is the zip code, a postal quirk? What does it do? How does it... If you'll lend an ear, we'll be glad to explain how the zip code eases your postal pain.
The first digit tells in which part of the nation your letter will find its destination. Since the country's divided into 10 big sections, each with a number to establish direct, your letter has even departed. We've already got it started.
The next two digits go hand in hand to a major post office over land, since each big section has town after town.
We need these numbers to really narrow things down. We've got the section, we've got the city. Just two more numbers and we're sitting pretty.
These last two digits are really specific. They're your local post office number. Terrific!
What a system. As you can plainly see, just five little numbers, quick as can be. But if you have a question or you have a doubt, if you're still not sure what the whole thing's about, just always remember, zip code defined
means city to city in one straight line.
But don't take it from us.
Don't take it from me.
Try it yourself.
You'll see.
There was a moment
by Fritz Gobain.
He sent a card
to say he loved her,
to say he cared
that special way.
His letters zigged and lagged a lot away. His lonely letter lagged day after day.
He would say, but when his voice
activity was low, the geomagnetic field was quiet to minor storm.
Reuben Hoskins hit on his airship Luna by Len Spencer, Columbia Records.
Say, boys, me and Asley's going around the world. Gonna cut the rope goodbye. I hope she flies, Asley. I hope she does, Pop. Say, now, Ez, tighten that air tank.
All tight, Pop.
Say, Ezra, straighten that steering tail, son.
All straight, Pop.
Ezra, loosen them side wings.
Oh, look, say, gee, we're going up, Ezra. Gee, oh, she flies, Ezra.
Steer due east, Ezra.
Due east, Dad.
Hey, Ezra, look at that Atlantic liner down there. Looks like a speck on the water. Quit that whistling, Ezra.
All right, Dad.
But say, there's land. Gee, but we're going. Say, look at them fellas down there in green britches a-clouting each other with shillelaghs. Why, it's Ireland, Ezra. Quit that whistling, Danya.
All right, Dad.
What's that smell? Why, it's Limburger cheese. We're crossing Germany, Ezra. Stop that whistling, Danya, Ezra.
All right, Dad.
That boy worries me so I can't... Yeah, look out for that mountain, Ezra. Throw out them sandbags. Gee whiz. Why, we nearly butt into the Alps, Ezra. Quit that whistling, Ezra. Quit it.
All right, Dad.
Hey, now, Ezra, close your eyes, Ez. Oh, do stop, Ezra. Them Turkish women are looking up at us, Ezra.
I'll quit whistling if you'll quit a-wiggling, Dad.
I ain't a-wiggling. I'm only shaking with the cold, Ezra. Gee, but we're going. Say, Ezra, look down there in the Philippines and see our brave boys are fighting for old Uncle Sam. Give it to them, boys. Our side is a-winning, Ezra. Look, hooray! Now then for home, Ezra. Put on more pressure. Gee, but we're a-going. Why, Ezra, there's land again. There's the golden gate of old Frisky. Look out for the Rocky Mountains, Ezra. Why, we're crossing the Mississippi River. Gee, but we're going. Why, Ezra, there's the dome of the Capitol at Washington, Ezra. Look out for the goddess of liberty. Slow down, Ezra. Slow down, slow. Yeah, we'll be out of dope. Been around the world, yeah. Yes, we're back on the soil of the grandest country in the world. Ain't you glad you're an American, Ezra?
You bet I be, Dad.
You bet I be, too. That's the tune. Whistle it, old Yankee Doodle.
Have a good trip, Reuben. Yes.
You are listening to The Repository. People usually laugh when I tell them about my strong belief in the existence of prehistoric advanced technology and great civilizations of alien overlords. They usually stop laughing when I zap them with the proton ray gun I found at the city dump.
Which was not all a dream. The bright sun was extinguished, and the stars did wander darkling in the eternal space, rayless and pathless, and the icy earth swung blind and blackening in the moonless air. Morn came and went, and came, and brought no day, and men forgot their passions in the dread of this their desolation, and all hearts were chilled into a selfish prayer for light. And they did live by watchfires, and the thrones, the palaces of crowned kings, the huts, the habitations of all things which dwell, were burnt for beacons, cities were consumed, and men were gathered round their blazing homes, to look once more into each other's face. Happy were those who dwelt within the eye of the volcanoes and their mountain torch, A fearful hope was all the world contained. Forests were set on fire, but hour by hour, they fell and faded, and the crackling drunks extinguished with a crash, and all was black. The brows of men by the despairing light wore an unearthly aspect, as by fates. The flashes fell upon them, some lay down, and hid their eyes and wept, and some did rest. Their chins upon their clenched hands, and smiled. And others hurried to and fro, and fed their funeral piles with fuel, and looked up with mad disquietude on the dull sky, the pall of a past world, and then again with curses cast them down upon the dust, and gnashed their teeth and howled. The wild birds shrieked, and, terrified, did flutter on the ground, and flap their useless wings. The wildest brutes came tame and tremulous, and vipers crawled, and twined themselves among the multitude. Hissing, but stingless, they were slain for food. And war, which for a moment was no more, did glut himself again. A meal was bought with blood, and each sate sullenly apart, gorging himself in gloom. No love was left. All earth was but one thought, and that was death, immediate and inglorious, and the pang of famine fed upon all entrails. Men died, and their bones were tombless as their flesh. The meager by the meager were devoured. Even dogs assailed their masters, all save one. And he was faithful to a course, and kept the birds and beasts and famished men at bay, till hunger clung them, or the dropping dead lured their lank jaws. Himself sought out no food, but with a piteous and perpetual moan, and a quick desolate cry, licking the hand which answered not with a caress, he died. The crowd was famished by degrees, but two of an enormous city did survive. And they were enemies, they met beside the dying embers of an altar place, where had been heaped a mass of holy things for an unholy usage. They raked up, and shivering scraped with their cold skeleton hands the feeble ashes, and their feeble breath blew for a little life, and made a flame which was a mockery. Then they lifted up their eyes as it grew lighter, and beheld each other's aspects, saw, and shrieked, and died. Even of their mutual hideousness they died, unknowing who he was upon whose brow famine had written fiend. The world was void. The populous and the powerful was a lump, seasonless, helpless, dreeless, manless, lifeless, a lump of death, a chaos of hard clay. The rivers, lakes and ocean all stood still, and nothing stirred within their silent depths. Ships sailorless lay rotting on the sea, and their masts fell down piecemeal as they droped. They slept on the abyss without a surge. The waves were dead, the tides were in their grave. The moon, their mistress, had expired before. The winds were withered in the stagnant air, and the clouds perished. Darkness had no need of aid from them. She was the universe.
Verse. Thank you.